Okay, so welcome to episode 108 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life.
Yo, we're on?
Yes, we're on, girl. You know I don't play these games. I got things to do.
You know what you almost recorded me to...
See, you keep the porn out your mouth. You wouldn't be...
Oh, that link you just sent me?
Uh-huh.
I was just talking about I was ordering the sample. I was about to share more.
Well, I tried to get the free sample, but it said that they were out of stock for the one that I wanted.
No, you can still don't. There, the thing where it says you're out of, it says we're temporarily out. There's a link right above that.
Oh, okay.
I literally just completed my order.
Okay, that's excellent. So for the listening audience, if you wanted to know. Wait a minute, what
are you talking about? Nope. I'm starting with the man in the mirror.
I'm asking him to change his ways. And no, we're talking about embossed Bibles. This new
book
they have. So it has, like, you know, an embossing. You can get your name engraved. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and get those. It's travel size. It's easily in our purses.
That's exactly what we were talking about. Mine is red, trimmed in gold.
And there's a workbook and everything. It's really cool. Now, we would tell you guys about it, but unfortunately, Miss Mark's going to get the very last copy. So, share that with you guys. Anyway, like I said, this is episode 108 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. I am one of your hosts, co-hostesses, Miss Smart. Also with me, I have Sojo. You heard her voice. Say hey, boo, hey.
Hey, boo, hey.
And in spirit, we have Lady Buddha, who will hopefully be joining us later. Yeah, so what's been going on, Sojo, Ner, for dad?
Nothing. Buddha just popped in and said she'll be on in about 10, 15 minutes. But okay. Nothing, just working, tired. I was asleep. So I just literally woke up. So, yeah, I need a minute to get my bearings back.
Okay, well, for the listening audience, I'm going to tell you guys something. So once Sojo has actually taken a nap, it's all hell breaks loose. So
it's hell to get me to take one, right?
Right, it's hell to get her to take one. But then once she does, she's recharged. And then she's, like, on level 17 for ratchetness. So... it's going to be a hard night. I'm going to mute my WhatsApp. That's what I'm going to deal with this. For those of you who are new to the show, I don't know what to tell you because we've already gotten to 108. So you have lots to listen to if we decide not to tape next week or the week after that. If you're listening and you like what you hear, leave us a 5-star review on Twitter, Stitcher, and wherever, you know, the side of a building and graffiti, whatever. As long as we see it and it's 5 stars and you don't say anything insulting to us, we will read it out loud on the show. So if you want to leave us 5 stars and have us give your mama them, cousin them, you know, step granddaddy them a shout out, put it in your comment and we will. You can also put in on this by donating. You can go to our site, whiskeywineandmoonshine.com, and PayPal us a couple of nickels for our troubles. And what else? What else did I? Oh, and as you have, you're at the beginning of the podcast. So go ahead and switch over to that Twitter app and follow us at Whiskey Wine Moon. That is the show's Twitter account. Or you can also follow me at, what is it, think_P_smart, Lady Buddha at NDC Collier, and Sojo,
she's NDC Harp.
Oh, yes, she is, NDC Harp, sorry. Sojo, what's yours?
At Sojo XOXO.
Woo woo. Okay, so what's been going on the last week and a half or whatever?
Overloaded with work, but then also finding like ways to kind of rebalance and recharge a little bit. I told you, you and Buddha about that Korean bathhouse thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that I started going to. So I started to make that like a weekly ritual or whatever. that I am actually looking forward to sometime this weekend. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. That is pretty cool. I have been, well, I thought you were going to take longer to talk, so I got to nothing.
Oh, no, I can talk about it.
Okay, tell people about it.
All right. So, first of all, I'm a spa person. Just, you know, I love getting massages. You know, I do all the different services or whatever. I like holistic places. Mm-hmm. But this place, my college roommate was telling us about a few weeks ago because her mother-in-law had taken her there. And I'll explain why that's a little crazy later. But it's very inexpensive. It's a place where you can get massages. There are like 7 different types of saunas. So you've got your charcoal sauna where you can draw out toxins, or you've got your salt, or you've got your cold, you know, places, and you have your whirlpools and you can get your body scrubs and all that. But, and it's also co-ed. They have a gym at the top. They have a restaurant in the middle, but it's a completely new spa. So you have your male and your female sections or whatever. And so when she was explaining it to us, she was saying that her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law had taken her there for the first time. So, of course, that was way super awkward. And, you know, for most of us Americans or whatever, being in that type of environment, when you first go, you're very body conscious, if that makes sense, because you're not used to being undressed around each other. So our first experience was hilarious because, you know, that when you get there, it's like these Asian people and they give you all these uniforms, like you have like these knee length shorts and tops, like t-shirts that you wear in the common area where the spa is. But then when you get back to the female part for the services, you pretty much have to be naked. So it was a very liberating experience, is not the word for it, but once you get comfortable being like in your own skin and being around each other and just sitting around talking or getting your services, you tend to forget like all those body conscious things. Like, for example, you have people who are extremely, extremely overweight. You have people who have C-section scars. You have all these things. And when you first go, you're really conscious about, well, what do I look like? Well, is somebody watching me? Is, you know, am I watching myself or whatever? And by the time you leave, you forget that even exists. Mm-hmm. And then the scrub, let me tell you something. I have had body scrubs before, but I have never had a body scrub like this in my life. They use those, what do you call that? And Smart, you might know what I'm talking about. The Salix towels.
The Salix towels? I don't know.
Yeah, they're on Amazon. I'll send you a link, but they are basically these exfoliating cloths.
Oh.
Yeah, that a lot of women who work in the entertainment industry have found out about to keep their skin, you know, beautiful or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're very cheap. You can get them on Amazon, but they take these towels. They take these products that are not expensive at all, and they start to scrub your body from top to bottom. Like layers of skin are just coming off, and then they rub you with this oil. They crush cucumbers and they put them on your face, and it's this whole just experience. And by the time you finish, like, you're glowing, you look like a completely different person, almost maybe a couple of shades lighter because you done got 3 or 4 layers of skin off. But the way that your skin feels like for the next 2 to 3 weeks, it's amazing. And it's not expensive at all. To get in, it's $25. The scrub itself is maybe $40, unless you get like the extra stuff, and then that's $50. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just a total fan. I'm hooked, and it's open 24 hours. So it's just, yeah, it's everything.
So that's your crack.
That is my new crack. You don't understand. And you can, a lot of people will go with their friends for like parties or whatever. And you can spend the night because they have like pillows and these little soft beds. It's just,
I'm planning a slumber party.
It is a sudden, like that's what we have done. Like a couple of my friends, we spent the night, like, go there, and the services, you can't get them between 3 a.m. and 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. But like, if you go at like 7, you can get the services, and you're so tired by the time you're done with everything that you pretty much go to bed, and then you can wake up in the morning and they have that restaurant. You can eat breakfast and be on your way.
So one near me is open 24 hours. Cause my girlfriends had planned a trip to go, and something happened and we ended up not going. So that has been on the list of things to do for a while. So you have really renewed my interest with regard to the scrub. I don't know. I mean, I already use the, what do you call it? The Clarisonic. And sometimes I put an exfoliating glove on top of my brush to scrub even more. So I don't really have too much problem with like getting layers of skin off or anything like that. But it would still be nice to do.
I'm getting ready to send you this link. It's a what they call it. It's Salux. It's Salux, but it's a Japanese beauty skin bath wash towel. And it's like $11 for a pack of three. And I've been, I had started using them this summer. And so then when I went to get the scrub, I was like, oh, I already used that. Oh, I'm good. And then she started scrubbing me. And the way that they scrub you, like, okay, when you normally go to the
spa. Wait. You know my addiction to Amazon.com. You sent me a god darn Amazon.com. Now, you know I'm about to cop this, or I can't not.
Yes, I sure did. But let me tell you, so you know, normally when you go to the spa, like it's, they dim the lights, there are candles, there are people who, they know we're body conscious in the state. So they'll put a towel over you and all your little areas and only uncover the stuff that they're working with or whatever. Hell no. There are old Asian women. And it's like a table, it's like a slab of four tables. And so everybody goes in and gets on this table. And you're pretty much with everybody, but then they start like scrubbing you down and they aren't soft about it at all. Like they kind of fling you around like a chicken, like, you know, when you're cleaning, you know, whatever, and they lift your leg up and they get all up under there and then they flip you over and scrub this and scrub that. And so it doesn't give you time to be self-conscious because you're like, oh my God, this lady
is in your business.
Like all in your business. And then she's like, over.
Oh my God.
But by the time you are done, I swear to God. And I was trying, you know, they will let you put like a little towel over your eyes if you, you know, just want to relax or whatever. And so I lifted up the towel to kind of see what products they were using. Cause I was thinking, oh, they're going to use all this expensive stuff. Hell no. They had Equate. Like I was like, okay, well this is some shit.
No. They probably Equate a container.
Like, I was like, you could get this shit from like Walmart or Dollar General or whatever, but it was the process that they were using. And so by the time they finished, they also massage your muscles and, you know, all that stuff. But like I said, once you're finished, like, even if you think that you know how to exfoliate, even if you think you know how to moisturize, it's nothing like this. I promise you, it's nothing like this. They also have a steam room and there's some tooth whitening thing that I've seen some of the ladies do. And it's just, yeah. But anyway, if anybody wants to know where it is and they're in the Atlanta area, it's Jeju Sauna, which is Jeju sauna.com. And y'all can check it out. I put some pictures on my other Instagram account, but yeah, it's everything. I'm totally addicted. So.
Well, that's exciting. That gives me something else to do. Not that I don't have enough stuff to do, but yeah. So I didn't do that. My new thing or my latest project is getting another job or preparing to get another job because, I'm always preparing to get another job. You just never know with these things. And so I had, reached out to Rich from Two Guys, One Show and asked him how he felt about, what were his thoughts on, having your resume and cover letter and LinkedIn profiles professionally done. And so he gave me some pointers about it and what to look for. And so that sort of propelled me to go ahead and do it. And I did it. And so I spent this evening just like looking for jobs and applying for things. And I had spent 5 years sort of like in HR technology. Mm. And so I knew how to get through the applicant tracking systems. But where I was, I think, falling short was getting past the HR manager into the hands of the hiring manager, because the HR manager doesn't usually look for transferable skills. They look for the specific words that the hiring manager told them to look for. And so they did a really good job, I think. Well, we'll see if I get more bites. They did a really good job in rewriting my resume to take me out of the out of the box that I was in with regard to industry. So I'm excited to hear about that. I do believe, and they did it really quickly too. Looks like Lady Buddha has just joined us. Hey, Boo, hey. How's it going?
She just said it's silent. Can she hear us?
Well, she just muted herself, so I don't know that she can hear us, but.
Yes, she can hear us. She says she sees us.
Yeah, I don't know. She, oh, it, when we have an echo. Oh, nope, she's gone.
She dropped off. I'm WhatsApping her.
Okay.
Oh, she said it says call ended.
Oh, I might have did that by mistake when I was opening
her, her out.
Sorry all the time. So anyway, if you are, I wouldn't even say just early.
I have questions. So, okay. When you say you got your resume professionally done, so what they do is they talk to you about what type of job you're looking for. They look at your resume and then tweak.
So you, the company that I went with, and I don't have it with me right now. I can tweet it out to people. They have several packages based on where you are in your career and number of years of experience, whether you just want a resume done from scratch, whether you want it just rewritten and customized, or do you want a cover letter with that? Do you want your LinkedIn profile? Like, there are all sorts of combinations you can do. So you go through, you pay for it, and then like seconds later, like you get an email like, oh, welcome, la la la, I'll be helping you, you know, from your person. I'm sorry, I got a text.
We heard.
Sorry.
Who's here? Boom, guess who stepped in the room?
Anyway, so then they set an appointment with you to, well, they ask for a copy of your resume and a copy of everything. Then they set an appointment to you to go over a consultation. When they ask your resume, they also send this whole list of questions to sort of flesh out what you're trying to achieve. Mm. In my case, I actually sent the guy a sample of a job description for a job that I'd want to do.
Ah, okay.
We have our consultation. He asked me, you know, takes a deeper dive into all my answers and just into my resume. And he takes all that information and, bam, puts it together. And then I got the first draft. I spoke to him day before yesterday, I think. And I got the first draft today of everything. And so I had some comments back, and I wrote them to them, and it had some, to him, and had some questions. Not only did he make the adjustments on the document, but he also answered all of my questions in great detail. So it wasn't like canned responses.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is not cheap, so you know you may have to sell your clothes on eBay.
About to ask, like, what's the price range?
So the lowest one I saw, the lowest package I saw was like $170, but I think that was just for a resume and someone early in their career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I won't tell you what my wallet spent, but I'm not early in my career, and I had three things done. So thus far, like I said, on the surface, I'm very pleased with what they did or what he did. So I'm looking forward to seeing if I hear anything. Just to see, you know, what the change is, because like I said, I was getting through the applicant tracking process. I sold applicant tracking software, so I know how to ease through those. But it was just some of the wording to, get to other people that I was having difficulties with. Lady Buddha, are you there now?
Yep.
Hey, Boo.
Hey.
Catching up on our lives. I was talking about Jeju, and then Smart was talking about getting her resume updated.
All right. Well, I am working on trying to get free. I posted a quote on my Instagram this morning from Daisaku Ikeda that says, "One who has mastered herself is truly free." And, I just realized, it's not realization, honestly, it's I just remember again that I'm kind of redundant and there's things I want to do where I need to just do them instead of thinking about doing them. So I have to master myself in my inertia.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get free. So,
Yes.
yeah.
I was having a conversation with a friend earlier this week about networking, because they're still trying to figure out like the ins and outs of it. Do y'all have any networking tips?
I would say, let me just back up. So in DC, and I don't know whether it's like this in Atlanta, but you have one group of people who always ask, "What do you do?" But then you have another group of people, and I mean socially, that will never talk about what they do. Like, you don't know, unless somebody's choking on a chicken bone, you don't know there's a doctor in the house. So I think one of the things is that you have to have an elevator speech prepared for both of those groups. You know, so whereas if somebody asked you what you do, you might say, "Oh, you know, I'm currently an educator in transition, going to moving towards doing X." Whereas if you're just casually sitting around, you might, instead of saying what you hope your trajectory is, you might have conversation about, like, I guess have some words about, I guess, a general topic, like, "Oh, you know, I'm interested in," or, "You know, I'm interested in education," or somebody's got children, and you may ask them something about, I don't know, their school system. So I guess basically what I'm saying is you have two separate elevator pitches, one more professional and one more casual and social, where the focus is not solely on quote unquote networking.
Because you don't want to seem like you're a robot.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't really have anything different. One thing that I've heard people say is to just share what it is you want to do as opposed to what you're currently doing. And it's hard to position yourself that way because then people start asking questions if it sounds interesting. So for instance, I'm transitioning from one career to a different one, and so I have some light experiences in the new field, but it's not really ongoing. So when I say, yes, I do such and such, people want details, and so I can elaborate, but it's not the same as, that's what you're actively doing. And you also don't want to always say you're transitioning. So it's interesting. I don't like any of those processes, but I do find myself just in general over the past couple of years saying it more often, what it is that I'm interested in, and letting people know that I'm interested in things along these lines, because people will try to connect you if they think that they know that you are interested in something, if they have a way to connect you, and not in a structured sort of a way, but just like if somebody were to just say in passing, hey, if you ever hear of anybody who's hiring for this and such, let me know. I mean, it may be an off chance, but that might be the day or the week or the month that I hear that someone is hiring for this and such, and I can pass your name along only because you told me. So I let people be conduits, basically.
With regard to the conduit you're speaking about, Lady Buddha, yes, tell people. I don't, like, I'll tell you guys, because I know you aren't going to press me later on, like, "What are you doing on such and such?" But the other thing, shut up. The other thing is that sometimes you network without even knowing it. So I had a colleague maybe about 7 years ago, and we did a little bit of work together. But obviously, we've kept in touch on LinkedIn and Facebook. And she hit me up this last week, late last week, or sometime this weekend, I forget which one, about a position that she had. It had nothing to do with my official job responsibilities when we worked together, but it was something with regard to logistics and sort of pulling a process together and managing people throughout this process. And yeah, she remembered that I was really good at that. Now, I ended up not being able to move forward because, well, I need more money than a nonprofit pays. But yeah, that is some bit of networking too, like leaving those good impressions. And sometimes it's not just in your field, it's good impressions with a specific, a unique skill set you may have.
I was just about to say,
Exactly.
you know, like my regular job is pretty cut and dry as far as what I do, but then when I talk to people, I'm always talking about what I get out of what I do,
mm-hmm.
And what my strength is and what I've learned about myself through the things that I'm doing. And so I'm finding more opportunities to do things that are outside of that particular area now coming my way, because I'm having those conversations with people, you know. So I think too, to let people know the things that you enjoy doing and why you enjoy doing those things, and also what your strengths are in that area, you would be surprised at who's actually listening to you. And again, just in casual conversation, not just being like, hello, my name is so-and-so, and I,
right,
you know, whatever. But, you know, just I don't know, even in a social situation, you may have the friend of a friend of a friend who's heard about you.
Yep.
Of, you know, something that you said. So, but also that can backfire too, if you're out there and people know about you negatively.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely,
you have to be careful. You never know. You're always networking in some type of sense, even if you don't realize that you're consciously doing it, good or bad.
Well, that's back to our conversations we used to have about your brand all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So what are you doing to promote your brand or demote your brand?
Yeah. The thing that I have discovered, maybe within the last probably 10 years, it started really shaping up for me, is that sometimes the thing that you think you're really good at isn't the thing that you're best at. And yeah. So sometimes, just like with Kristen reaching out to me about that position, sometimes I think young people might want to look around and notice what people come to them for. You know, so someone may come to me, like my friends will come to me if they're moving and need somebody to organize their move, if they need somebody to organize a closet, if they need somebody to organize, you know, a bunch of groomsmen, that's something that people will come to me for. Now, I never really considered that as any those skills as something that I could build a career on, however they are. Yeah. And so, you know, you may have people, like, for instance, I have a very good friend who I wouldn't trust her to organize the opening of an envelope. That's not her skill set. And she's done that work. She's tried that work. She really, really, really tried to build a career in that work. But her real skill set is bringing people together with money who are willing to write a check. That, she's amazing. Like, even if you don't have any freaking money, if she invites you to something, by the time you leave there, you have transferred money, PayPal, to somebody. That's her skill. And she, you know, that's what people come to her for now, and now she's built a career on it.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think those are things that we don't tell younger people to look for. Because even, and I know, just being in education, we're always trying to push them down career pathways.
Right.
Like, you need to do this and you need to do that. So when they are actually, you know, going to college or trying to figure things out, they're so engrossed in, I have to be a doctor, or I have to be a lawyer, or I have to be this and I have to be that. And they don't pay attention to just those little things that you talked about, because it could be the girl in the dorm who everybody comes to, you know, for
hair, yes,
you know, mm-hmm. Even just for the hair and, you know, whatever. But she could be a businesswoman because that skill set of time management, or, you know, doing whatever. We never tell them how to pick up on those little skills like that.
I was thinking about this before we started the show, sort of switching gears here. Last year, I think it was, we talked about, you know, kids going to school and the start of the new school year. And I don't think, particularly for college-aged people, we talked a lot about social tips. And the reason I bring this up is because I was recently talking to some people about a couple of kids that are going to college, and the parents were hella delusional about socially. Like, so you can tell your child to study every Friday night, but that's probably not going to happen. And that sweet little girl you dropped off, she probably already fucking before she left your house. So let's not lie. Let's take them to get some form of birth control. Let's take, you know, let's tell them, hey, don't be sexting. I know it's tempting, but, like, and I don't think people are honest enough with their kids up front. they wait until something messed up happens.
Well, and then,
like, oh yeah, you know, and then these kids go off, and I've seen it. I'm sure you guys have seen it. You come to school with somebody, they come in the door with a 4.0 and zero social skills, and before the first week is out, they are knocked up and keeping a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, I mean, I guess, girl, I guess. And I got room to myself. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
So what social tips would you guys have for maybe your younger selves or, you know, people who are just going off to college and not staying at home?
Mm-hmm. I think the best thing for me was that I found a good group of like-minded people. Because when I was in high school, my mom really didn't give me like a lot of restrictions when I was in high school. I basically knew what her expectations were. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't like, okay, your curfew is 11. She would just say, okay, what are you doing? Okay, what time do you need to be? You know, that kind of thing. So I wasn't one of the ones who had not had freedom going in to want to be a party girl. And so I kind of naturally gravitated to people who weren't, I don't know, they were kind of more calm than I was, and I had already kind of wilded out in high school, so it just kind of was that balance.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started to notice, like, there were people who were gravitating towards people who were helping them wild out because they had not ever had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like finding that balance of where you want to be. You don't necessarily have to go to college and sit in your dorm room, you know, whatever. But if you know that your goal is to, I don't know, finish, you know, with a certain grade point average or whatever, find somebody who's smart and studies. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know that you want to learn social skills and you want to learn how to party, find somebody who parties with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And still gets their job, you know, their stuff done. So it's like finding people that you want to be associated with instead of being swayed into anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I was thinking about my freshman year, and I didn't have a plan or a structure, and I didn't really think about it that deeply. But, you know, I had two groups of people that I spent the most time with, and you know, it was a nice combination of hanging out. So we all went to the parties and the clubs and, you know, dance until the lights came on. You saw right what people really looked like, that sort of a thing. But at least one of my groups was also high achievers. So we actually would all hang out in a big group and go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And then all do our homework and joke around. So we were still having fun, but, you know, people, they really did have to focus. People were on scholarship, they were engineering majors and that kind of thing. So they were really focused, but I didn't think that deeply about it. It was just, those are the two groups of people that I gravitated toward. And I pretty much just trusted my instinct. So, like, there was one guy that I remember right now, who I had a crush on him, he had a crush on me, and I saw him get sloppy drunk one time.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole behavior was so unattractive. He wasn't mean, but he was emotional and loud and strange, and I didn't feel comfortable, and so I just distanced myself from him. So even though he was still a part of one of those two crews, I didn't spend as much time with that section of the crew. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of naturally knew to leave certain people alone, certain elements or whatever that just didn't resonate with who I was or who I thought I was at that time. Mm-hmm. So I think that if I were to say what is the advice is to, you know, hang around different types of people to the degree that it resonates with you. They don't have to be the same as you, but if something feels off, then that's probably not the group for you.
I think, too, what Smart was asking, what can parents do, is to give their children enough freedom before college to learn those skills, like trusting your instincts,
mm-hmm. seeing
who people really are in certain situations, because a lot of times parents are so overprotective. They don't ever want their child to feel any hurt, or they don't ever want their child to have to manage a conflict among friends on their own, that they're completely ill-equipped to do it when they're off in college as an adult. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't gone through, I don't know, an argument with a group of friends, or you haven't gone through, I don't know, a breakup, or, you know, even how to talk to a teacher. Like, a parent is always, nowadays, the helicopter parents.
I was just thinking helicopter parents. Mm-hmm.
Are always so quick to swoop in and solve the problem for them that the kids go off to school with no problem-solving skills, and that's scary.
Mm-hmm. It's real scary.
So if you distance yourself just a little bit where you're able to teach your child at a young age, not just even in high school, start teaching them that in elementary and middle school when they have a problem, not you coming in to fix it, but asking them, well, what have you thought about? How are you going to
fix it?
Mm-hmm. You know,
and they can do it.
Right, they really can. They're smarter and more equipped than a lot of parents actually think.
And they want to do it. That's the flip side.
Mm-hmm.
They want to show you they can do it.
Let them talk it through with you. I think, too, parents are so quick to want a right-now solution. Sometimes things take time when you're developing that skill set. So allow them the time to listen to them talk it through. Give them different opportunities to use different strategies and come back to you and talk about what worked and what didn't work so that they can develop those skills in instant.
I think a lot of times parents don't want their kids to become fully functioning adults because they won't be needed anymore. I think that's part of it. The other part is that I forgot because I had thoughts and then they left me. So, yeah.
Well, some parents think that they're not being good parents if they don't do X, Y, and Z, but they don't really flip it around to think that perhaps they're being enablers instead, you know.
I remember now. I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids, your college student, your high school student, they're not your kicking it buddy. They should have friends their own age. Mm-hmm. And so there will come a time when your child doesn't want to come home on a three-day weekend. Let them stay their ass where they want to go. Or maybe they want to go with their friends on a three-day weekend. Or hell, maybe they want to sit in their dorm room. Maybe they want to stay at school for the summer and find their own scholarship to go to school. That's their business. You know, maybe you need to prepare. Maybe you need to get some damn friends. How about that?
Prepare.
A lot of parents don't prepare themselves for their children going off. A lot of married couples don't prepare themselves for their children no longer needing them.
Mm-hmm.
Get you a life, because your kids need to get them one too.
Yeah. And start really, like seriously, kids need to have their own experiences that don't necessarily involve you being immersed in them.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody recently who has a 12-year-old, and he was like, we were talking about school shopping, and she's like, yeah, she likes going shopping with everybody but me. That's she's right on track. Yes. And you know what? In a couple of years, she's going to cozy up to you and like to go places because she's going to be aiming for that car.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the natural progression. You kick the bird out the nest. The bird ain't supposed to sleep in your basement all the rest of their lives.
That is true. That is true. Okay, I have a question for y'all that's not on this, but this is actually kid related. All mm-hmm. right. So, what advice would you give, like, a 16-year-old girl who has no idea how to begin to love themselves? Like, they're filled with anger. They know that because they blow up all the time. They know that it's not getting them where they want to be, but they can't seem to stop doing that. And one of the things that they are realizing is that they don't really like themselves. What little thing or even action item or something would you give that girl that knows that she needs to change that about herself?
Action, and you give us a heavy question without any warm up.
I don't want y'all to get like way deep, like, you know, whatever, but just as a woman to woman thing, if you saw a girl like that, like, what would be some things that you would say or do or, you know, whatever?
Well, I would try to give her a small win. So if I saw her one day and you know, the checkout person at the CVS had a slight tone and she just paid her money, I would compliment her on that. If I don't, if I'm not around her enough to see those situations, I would compliment her on, you know, putting her outfit together nicely or a bag, whether it's true or not. I don't really care because kids dress ridiculously to me anyway. Something that she could feel good about and like about herself, you know, and then start to, if I'm around her longer, when she does act out or when she, and, you know, when she does act out, have her to start sort of backing out of the situation, thinking back, okay, so I cussed the girl out at CVS. What happened right before that? Okay. And what happened right before that? And so, you know, try and get her to, like, I guess, see her triggers. Mm-hmm. And once she finds out what a couple of her triggers are, basically congratulate her on being able to self-reflect. You know, that's a skill that she should be proud of. Mm-hmm. So yeah, basically, I don't know, trying to find things, small things that she could start to become proud about.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
The technical difficulties over here. I would do a couple of things depending on what else I knew about her, but one thing I would have her do is do the morning pages that I mentioned before, where the first thing in the morning you just do a stream of consciousness dump. You're supposed to do it by hand, even though I don't always do them by hand. And then just don't even think about what you're writing at first. Just do the dump. But then later, when you felt like you were ready, I would encourage her to do some version of that and then start to analyze or notice the things that she sees. Like, are there any patterns? Are there any things that she can, like, pull out to start to make sense of what it is? Because maybe there's some specific root thing, and it's not just she doesn't like herself generally speaking, or she's just angry generally speaking. There may be some specific thing that she can at least identify and then, you know, progress from there. So that's one thing I would do, is really journal about it, basically. I guess the other thing I would do is, and this is really what depends on what else I knew about her, I would recommend one of several books to her, but the one that came to mind as soon as you asked the question was Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. Because the mantra that, you know, she talks about a lot is, I am willing to change. Even when you don't know what it is you want to change yet, just telling yourself, even if you don't believe it yet, that you are willing to change, at least plants the seed that you can consider changing later. Mm-hmm. So just to start getting her on that path. So if I thought she would read the book or listen to the audio book, I would suggest it. But otherwise, I would just ask her to think about telling herself every day, I am willing to change. And then we could, you know, revisit that after she's done that for a while.
Those are good. That's a situation that just happened to me today. And I was talking to her, and she really has this desire to be something different or act differently. But she didn't know where to start. She does like to write, so I was going to buy her a journal and actually put, like, within the journal, put, like, little activities for her to do. So those are all really good suggestions. So I'm going to keep that in mind, ladies. Thank you.
Oh, so we're doing your work for you, huh? Is that how you
do it? No, I'm like, you don't want to get a check.
Yes. So I will be hitting y'all up later with, okay, I'm in the middle of this journal for this little thing. What do you think I need to put here? So.
Well, I have a question about her. Like, how does she come to the opinion that, or the belief that she doesn't like herself?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wonder.
She says that when she looks in the mirror, she just does not like what she sees. She doesn't think she's ugly. It's not a physical, you know, how the girl thing, oh, I'm so ugly, or, you know, whatever, whatever. She just doesn't like who she is. And I think it's more about, now that she's realizing that her behaviors have pushed so many people away, that she's thinking it's got to be me, and not really understanding how to get away from that anger. And when we talked today, we kind of got into some of the root causes of that anger. She feels attacked a lot, but part of that is because of not really feeling safe emotionally. And so, not having that for so long has just caused her to just always be on the defensive, always be on the attack. If somebody's saying something, it's always personal, even when that thing isn't necessarily directed towards her. And then she's gonna get you before you get her. Like that's it. So, but I love the fact that she does want to change. I love the fact that she knows it's not working and the desire is there, and I like the fact that she's young enough to where she's not 36 or 46 just
Ooh,
going, and going on the young, like fix my life or whatever. She's saying this at 16. So that's beautiful. So, I do want to help her.
Along that vein, though, bringing up age, I think we do ourselves a disservice to think that people are going to grow out of things automatically. And sometimes, to your point, you have to make a conscious effort to develop new skills. You know, because you can easily make it to 40 or 50 still, begging somebody to remember your birthday,
You know what? You gonna
I did it. I did it, and I'll do it again.
you did it. But I
So,
think too, when you're rewarded in small little ways for things that aren't necessarily healthy, even though other people can say, oh, you need to change that about yourself, you get comfortable in those things being your norm, your functional, you're this, you're that. If your functional is, somebody not remembering your birthday, but you're getting like a small token of something that a nugget of affection and you're used to nuggets, that's your norm. So whereas somebody else will be like, you know what, that norm is really not healthy. You've done that for so long and you've been rewarded in little ways for so long, you don't even realize that it's a bigger problem.
Right. Yeah. I would agree, but you know what? I'm not the person. I will watch it from afar, but I'm not holding vigil or anything like being like, "Girl, girl, you should." Now, the difference between this and what you're talking about is a young lady came to you acknowledging that there's a problem. I mean, people will become full-grown adults and end up in their casket and never know that they could have done something different. And so
That's the first thing I told her. I said, I know that you think you have all these things that are wrong with you, but even just in the fact that you're in an open space where you're willing, cause I don't know the, like you were, Buddha, you were saying how well you know the girl. I don't know her. So I'm like, even for you to feel comfortable in the space that we're in right now, to just say that this is what you want and stand in that truth with me in a room, then hey, I'm willing to help you with that. Because so many people don't. They're afraid to even come to that realization.
Yeah, I mean, she was standing up for herself. That's really powerful.
And I think sometimes when you talked about the, getting the nuggets, sometimes the reward for being a person that you don't even like yourself is that it keeps other people either at bay or it gives you a reputation of don't mess with Sojo, she don't play. So that's a reward in and of itself.
Right. And that's become the thing with her too, is that she's comfortable in having the reputation of don't fuck with her because she'll, blah, 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 blah. And so that's been a reward for her in a small way. But at the same time, because she doesn't have to be vulnerable. Uh-oh, I got an echo.
Wait.
Just a little bit. But she's resting in the fact that she doesn't have to be vulnerable because people think that she's gonna go off on them. But in a sense, having being so tough that you can't be vulnerable is sometimes your biggest weakness. Sometimes it's your biggest vulnerability.
What you just said is you've just read Angry Black Women. Strong Black Women, excuse me, Strong Black Women. You have just told their entire hustle.
Well,
So I don't have money to get on YouTube about that, but.
some of this reminds me of a book that I'm currently reading. And people who are interested can download it. You can go to audibletrial.com/whiskeywinemoon and get a free copy of Mindset by Carol Dweck. I can't remember if I mentioned it before, but she's a Stanford psychologist. She's been doing research for years about mindset. And she talks about the growth mindset and the fixed mindset and how, you know, different mindsets can affect your life in all kinds of ways, from relationships to work to learning, everything. The way you, you know, like yourself or not like yourself, the way you think you're smart or think you're not smart, or the way you believe you can grow your intelligence or grow your expertise or grow your abilities in an area or not, is all boils down to your mindset. And she really talks about how you can change your mindset or have different mindsets about different things, and how you can really try to develop a growth mindset. So I think the fact that that girl came to you, Sojo, shows that she has a growth mindset and that she believes that she can become better and live a better life. Whereas some people have a fixed mindset and believe, well, these are the cards I'm dealt. I can't do anything about it, and this person over there were dealt better cards, and they're just lucky, and that's the end. And so they stay stuck and don't even try to envision a different possibility, which is why, you know, Louise Hay's work becomes powerful, about just being willing to change, willing to think different. But so she's already there with that growth mindset, so that's a good start. But anyway, people can definitely go check out that book. I actually really want us to kind of do a book club on the book. I'm about halfway through it right now, but it has a lot of very interesting insights.
To piggyback off of what you're saying, Lady Buddha, I believe that Nicki Minaj didn't know she can date outside of Bad Rapper. Like, I think that now Ciara figured that out. Ooh, I got a huge echo.
You
do. Ciara figured that out and went from Future to Russell Wilson in the White House.
But it took her a while for that, because remember, she went from Bow Wow to 50 Cent. So it was an evolution.
Yeah, it was an evolution. It was. So, but I feel like Nicki doesn't know she doesn't have to date Poop. Or she feels like she's showing some type of loyalty or keeping it realness by limiting herself to Bad Rappers. And I just want more for the girl, that's all.
I like her, and I think she was trying to model herself with the Jay-Z Beyonce model, but choosing Meek wasn't the same as choosing Jay. So, yeah.
I mean, that's all you can really say about that.
I mean, that's all I can say about that. You know, I'm like, nope, you should have, mm-mm. Because if you think about it, even Oprah said this about Jay. Jay was somebody who was manifesting The Secret his whole life. And I just can't see, like she said, even in conversation with him, it's kind of different. And I just, looking at Meek, I just don't see them having those conversations. So you got to be careful about the person that you're choosing. Like, even if they are in a place right now, like, it ain't like, you know, Jay was just this great business, you know, whatever. He had to evolve into the person that he was. But even the conversations that he was having along the way were not your average rapper's conversation.
Mm-hmm. And he, you know what, he had to put down, what's that little rat boy who used to be, they used to be together, Damon Dash.
Oh, wow.
He knew to put that down. And so, Nicki girl, if you're listening to this, if somebody knows her, let her know. We're all rooting for you.
Lord.
I mean, but it is true. Like, don't lock yourself into a box, especially a box that doesn't benefit.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be a down-ass chick. Like, you don't have to. Don't be ashamed to be able to say, you know what, this situation is not what I want to manifest for my life. So
yeah, don't be afraid to get free.
Mm-hmm.
Like the girl who, now granted, $88 million, and she had that after taxes, but she spent like a fraction of that. I think it was supposed to be $9 million, but she only put up like 10%. To get her drug dealing boyfriend out of jail twice. Girl, The cops would break us up. The cops would just break us up.
What happened, huh?
She won like a Powerball or one of those lotteries, right? She's a single mother, I think in her mid-20s, with four children living with her mother. Her boyfriend got arrested. She bailed him out. Got arrested again. She bailed him out. Now, his bail amounts, I believe, totaled $9 million. But the way it works, she only had to pay like 10% or whatever, 1%, whatever it is. But my point is, when you are guilty of the crime, the handcuffs broke us up. Like, we are broken up. So I don't know, like, you know, these women, oh, I've been with my guy and he's in jail, and but girl, the judge broke us up. I mean we were together and then the judge said y'all not together no more,
right? No. I'm not that down of a
chick. No, not in 2015 when we all know better. Some of us know better.
We all know better. That's not necessary.
No, it's not necessary. But sometimes I see these people and think, girl, come on. Like, you don't have nobody. Nobody said, boo-boo. You might want to keep that money. And again, it's not a lot of her money, but on principle, I can't do it twice, too? Nah, bro. So, anyway, I believe that we are coming to the end of our time here. Do you guys have any closing words or cheers?
I'm thinking, I feel like, actually, I'm just going to give, I have closing words, I don't have cheers. But this is from Daisaku Ikeda, who was giving some encouragement at the beginning of this year that is still relevant now. He says, first, change yourself. Never give up. And advance with joy. So it's all about you. Don't give up on yourself and be joyful in the struggle. So, but you can reach me at NDCHARP on Twitter, or you can check out my website at cocostudio.com. That's COCO studio singular, cocostudio.com. What about y'all?
I actually don't have cheers either. I guess my cheers would be to anyone who's looking to make a change and is actually acknowledging that. Cheers to you if you're going through that. You guys can find me on Twitter at SOJOXOXO. That's SOJOXOXO. I started writing again. You can visit my blog. It's at sojoxo.me. That's SOJOXO.me.
Excellent. Well, my closing words are, let's see, ain't nothing to doing it but to do it. And my cheers, as I said at the start of the show, is to going to Rich from Two Guys One Show for, you know, helping me make the decision to move forward with having my resume done. I can be reached at on the Twitter at think_p_smart. The show collectively can be reached at Whiskey Wine Moon on Twitter. We do have a web page. We have Facebook. We have Podomatic, Stitcher, iTunes. We have a consistent desire to get 5-star reviews on any of those mediums. So feel free to do that. And like I said earlier, if you want to drop a couple nickels on us, in our PayPal, link on our website, certainly feel free, you know, for the cost of a cup of Starbucks.
You stupid.
Anyway.
What else they can do too is they can send us an email at feedback@whiskeywatermoonshine.com.
True.
Yeah. Ask us questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we may answer them, or we may be like, what is wrong with this person?
Yeah, that's too personal.
It's you know, it's worth a try, so try it, you know. Might work out for you. Ain't nothing to do it but to do it. So anyway, with that, cheers.
Cheers.
Alrighty, thank you for coming to the show.